My name is Michael Coates. I'm a former firefighter, but I'm also a former soldier. And it's the stories from the individuals within this military community that I'm desperate to document. Our next guest joined the British Army in his early 20s and within months found himself on the beaches of Dunkirk. Fighting in the North African desert, he was captured by the Nazis and spent the next 3 years as a prisoner of war. From suffering starvation to being firebombed at Dresden and his outlook on life now. Episode 26, Dennis Brock. This is Declassified.
When was you born? What year?
1918. That makes me 100 years. I was just over 100 years old.
What was the you was born in Sunbury?
Yes, I was born in French Street, Sunbury, in the an apartment which is over the Londis shop now.
Mm.
But in those days, it was an ironmonger shop, and the man there sold everything for household candles, paraffin, bags of coal, all sorts. Everything that a carpenter needs.
Yeah.
All those sort of things. Mr. Maidment. And my mother had the apartment over the shop. So my father was away in the trenches, but when he came home on leave, that's where he could come to.
Yeah.
But he was born just five doors away.
So it really was then, Sunbury was the family.
We really are a Sunbury family, although our background is in Ireland.
Yeah.
My father was born in Sunbury, but a couple of his brothers were born in County Fermanagh.
Mm.
But my mother and father were married in 1916 at St. Mary's Church in Sunbury, the parish church.
And that's still the same church you go to?
Yes, and I was baptised in that church, and I've been there ever since. And for the last almost 90 years, I've been in charge of the bell ringing.
Really?
I'm a bell ringer, a campanologist.
What was childhood like then? So your dad was in the trenches. What was childhood like growing up? Did he ever speak about his experiences?
Later. But when he wasn't at first all in the trenches. He was a driver in the RASC, and he was driving to begin with in 1914. He volunteered with his brothers at the end of 1914 for the army, and they went to France. And my father was in the service corps, and he started off driving heavy lorries. He was a driver, ammunition to the front. But after a while, about a year or 18 months, he was transferred to drive a Rolls Royce for the brigadier. Mm. Staff car, an old-fashioned military Rolls, because my father was profession was a Rolls-Royce driver.
Oh, right.
He had been trained by Rolls-Royce. The early, very early Rolls-Royces that were on the road, so it was known on his military record that he could drive a Rolls. He knew a lot about them.
Mm.
So he drove the Brigadier. And that was the only time he got a slight wound in the Rolls, not in the ammunition lorry, in the Rolls.
Yeah.
He got a cut in the neck, and the Brigadier was wounded as well, like a shell fire.
Yeah.
And he was married to my mother, of course, in there. And I was a product of one of coming home on leave, I think, to that.
Was it? I think there was a spike, yes, in people born in kind of 1918, 1919.
Well, yes. Well, it seemed to be the thing to do. The feeling was that when they came home on leave at that late time of the war, if they when they went back, that was the last time they'd be seen.
Oh.
So many men went back off that leave towards the end of the war, and they were killed. And there were a lot of men in French Street, friends of my father. They died. Mm. So it seemed to be the thing to leave somebody behind.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
And leave and a baby.
And you were the product of that.
Yeah, I was a product of that marriage.
Yeah. Did you have any brothers and sisters? Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes. And later on, after the war, I had a sister, Kathleen, and she lived, she was with my father. He was in service at Woking, and we had a tied house. My father worked, he drove the rolls for his employer and looked after the gardeners, and that was going to be our family home. But I had a very, very short time at Woking because my mother died on my fifth birthday.
Oh.
In hospital at Woking on the operating table. And her mother, my maternal grandmother, brought me up to Sunbury to look after me for a short time while my father, while he was in service down at Woking, he looked after my daughter, sister, because the female staff in the big house could look after a little girl.
Yeah.
But they didn't want a little girl and a boy, probably a troublesome boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Of five.
Yeah.
You see, so my maternal grandmother hauled me away from Woking to look after me for a little while my father settled down.
Mm.
But I never went back.
How long was you with your grandmother?
How old?
How long was you with your grandmother?
Well, all her life.
Oh, really?
Then I lived in Sunbury with my grandmother and my grandfather until I got married when I was 27. I lived in Green Streets in Sunbury, next to the parish hall, in the cottage there, with them. And I got married from that house when I was 27.
Did you have a close relationship with your dad? Did you see your dad as a child?
Not as much as I would have thought, but he came up to on Sundays occasionally, probably about once a month, to see his mother in French Street, which was only five doors away from where I was born. He used to come up with the rolls to see her, and when he left, before he left, he would give me a ride round Sunbury in the Rolls.
Yeah.
A little ride round.
Yeah.
And sometimes he brought my sister up.
Oh, great.
But I didn't see him a lot.
Nah.
And he married again after a couple of years after my mother died. And they had a daughter, and that little daughter is still alive, and she came up recently to see me.
Really?
And she's been, she's just given up driving. She's 96, I think. She's just given up driving. She lives in Birmingham. And on my 100th birthday, towards the end of last year, one of her sons brought her for the day to Sunbury from Birmingham. And another, her other son lives in the Channel Islands. He came over with his wife. And they met me in the parish hall at our party. We had a big family party. And, there must have been about 80 people there.
Yeah, brilliant.
A lovely party. So I saw my half, my stepmother, But she was a... I saw my half sister.
Yeah.
Betty.
Yeah.
She came.
Did you growing up though, was the I suppose from when your mother died,
yes,
you kind of lost your dad as well in some ways, because you came back to your grandmother and lived with your grandmother. So yes. When your mother died, you really was split. Yes.
Well, my mother is buried in Sunbury Cemetery.
Oh, okay.
We had a family grave there. My grandmother had bought a big plot, for the double plot, and my mother always had a wish that if ever she died, she'd like to be buried at Sunbury.
Mm.
And she was. And the cemetery is only about 400 yards from where I live now.
Oh, right.
I see her grave.
Yeah.
Quite often. I saw it yesterday, actually.
95 years ago.
Yeah.
I've been there for 95 years.
All those years.
What was childhood like growing up? You know, when you moved to your grandmother's, what was childhood like growing up?
Oh, it was very friendly. Every household had children of my age and more.
Mm.
My grandmother had 8 children. And when I went to live there, my uncles and aunts were still at home. There were 7 of them. My mother was the eldest. She died. And so I was quite integrated with the family.
Yeah.
I know it was a bit tight. the sleeping arrangements were rather odd, but I used to sleep across the end of a bed with two of my uncles.
Oh, really?
They slept down the bed in a normal way, and I slept across the end by their feet.
Like a little cat.
Until they got married. One by one, they got married, and in the end, by the time the Second World War started, I was the only one at home with my grandparents.
You'd liberated the bed.
Yeah,
it took you years.
And then I went away.
If we move us forward a little bit then, how old was you when you joined the army?
20. In 1938, there was a crisis, the Munich crisis, when it was thought there'd be a war, an arrangement was made between Neville Chamberlain, the Prime Minister, and Adolf Hitler. There'd be no war. But everybody rejoiced. But early 1939, Hitler started moving again into Czechoslovakia, or one of those countries, and it looked as if there'd be a war coming up. So at the beginning of 1939, the government decreed that every young man at that time who was 20 should do 6 months training in the army. It was called the militia, and I was one of them. And we had to go away from home for 6 months, give up our jobs, and go back to them, of course, after 6 months. But I had my medical examination at Hounslow Barracks, passed out, okay, A1, and registered for the army, and I was interviewed at Hounslow Barracks for the Royal Artillery, a gunner. And that summer, I was called up to do my 6 months. War hadn't yet started, and I was ordered to go to Blandford in Dorset to start my 6 months training in the Royal Artillery. But Before I went, in that week, before I went, there was a violent storm, thunderstorm, in that part of Dorset. And the whole camp, which was tented, was wiped away.
Mm.
All the tents were blown down and soaked. The place was under a couple of feet of water. And we had urgent messages, telegrams and on the radio, not to go until we received further orders, because anyone going to that part, at that camp, there was no camp.
Yeah, pointless.
It was washed away. So I went on a cycle tour for a week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I was a very keen cyclist, and I went out with a group of people. So I quickly went on a week's holiday, and I went to Dorset and Somerset, and I passed by the camp that was ruined.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I got home, there was a telegram waiting to say I'd been recalled, but it was to Harrogate, outside Harrogate in Yorkshire, North Yorkshire. And I had to go to a camp, a hutted camp, brand new. It was only half finished when we got there. Big hutments, posh, good ones. And it was in a place called Pennypot Lane. We couldn't understand it. It got other names as well while we were there. But it was a very good camp. And I did 3 months training there. And after passing out there as a gunner, I went down to Ascot Racecourse for a short while, a couple of weeks. And from there, I went to France, to the British Expeditionary Force, the BEF.
Oh, so while your training was going ahead, and then the time in Ascot, war had been declared?
Oh, yes, it was declared. War was declared when we were during the time of the washout camp, Blandford. Right. At Blandford, yes.
Blandford, yeah.
And from Blandford, I went to Harrogate. War was on.
Mm.
War was declared on the 3rd of September, and I had that telegram to go to Yorkshire on the 1st of September.
Really?
You see? So I was already in.
When?
In the army. I was in the army from the middle of 1939.
Mm.
Then I went to France, and I joined... As a gunner, I joined the 50th Northumbrian Division, one of the batteries, the 296 battery. We spent that time, early 1940, polishing up our training with a proper field regiment, you see.
Was the fighting going on?
Mm-hmm.
Was fighting happening around you?
No, it hadn't started.
Right.
You see, the Germans started in the beginning of May, 1940.
Right.
They marched through the Low Countries, through Luxembourg, through Belgium, into France, and we went into action. Around about the 10th of May, real action. We went up to Belgium, up to the River Dyle, on the front there, and we were in action, and we got driven back into France, but we went to all sorts of battlefields. We were in action nearly every day.
What was it like then? Those first days of conflict. So you're now in May 1940. War's been declared for nearly a year, coming up to a year.
Yeah.
You guys are the first into battle against the Nazis.
Yes, well, there were several British divisions there, and we were one of them. The 51st Highland Division had they landed on the coast of France, but they didn't join us. They were ready up there, and they were in battle on the coast. But we got pushed back through Arras and over all the old battlefields of the Great War.
Mm.
It seems strange that we were like ghosts of our fathers. We went back over the battlefields that our fathers had been in only 20 years earlier. But we got pushed back to the coast to Dunkirk, and thousands of British soldiers were trapped at Dunkirk. I was in the sea almost up to my neck because I managed to get onto a little boat, but it was bombed, and it turned over and threw us into the sea. And I scrambled ashore, and by some miracle, I managed to get to one of the piers where a British destroyer managed to get in. The destroyers were getting in, but only at the high tide.
Mm.
But when I got there, after being thrown into the sea, the tide was coming in, and there was a destroyer edging in, and I managed to get to the side of that, and the Navy people threw ropes over. We scrambled up ropes and got on, and we whizzed across to Dover.
But I mean, before if it's okay with you, I'd like to keep us in Dunkirk for a little bit before we move on.
Oh, yes.
What was it like? So we're now looking at like kind of the 26th of May, so not long after we'd first engaged with the German army. What was it like? What was was it desperate? Was it
desperate? And also, the town of Dunkirk was on fire, and the Germans were shelling it from inland, and also bombing it from the air, dive bombing, and the beaches were dive bombed. It was what we'd commonly call hell on earth.
Mm.
But British Army kept its spirit up.
Mm. What was it? What was the kind of reality of war at that point? You know, you was only kind of 20 something days into fighting. The British Expeditionary Force had gone out over there and was expecting a fight. But was it the might of the Germans coming through? Was it overwhelming, the conflict?
It was because we weren't prepared for the accurate dive bombing that the Germans had. The Stuka bombers they could pick us out, and their artillery was very hot. And of course, on the road to Dunkirk, the British infantry had to hold up, make gaps for us to get through. The guards, all sorts, but we made it to the beaches, and of course, down there are thousands and a lot of people in the sea and all.
What did you see there? Was there a lot of killing?
Well, there was very little hand-to-hand fighting when I got there, but there was a lot of death and injury from aerial bombardment and artillery bombardment.
Mm.
The Germans were bombarding. You see, for a distance of 20 miles round Dunkirk, the roads were blocked with vehicles. You couldn't move. Mm. We had to go on foot. The order went round more or less, every man for himself, get to the coast. And we did. But of course, when we got to the coast, there were a good many more than us and the sea, and boats sunk, destroyers blown up, and it was chaotic, really.
Yeah.